Hello everyone, how are you doing today? I trust everybody has had a fantastic day or a fantastic evening, and welcome to today's podcast. This is Marianne. I'm glad that you could join me today. So I've been thinking a lot about, you know, maybe let me say reminiscing, feeling a little bit nostalgic. And I've been into some conversation with a few people here and there. And, you know, it kind of got me thinking about a few things. And chief among them is suffering, you know, pain and suffering and seeing people struggle. Like a lot of you would know, I mean, I'm in Kenya. I'm based in Kenya, a beautiful country in East Africa. And we're facing some economic challenges. And with that comes a lot of struggles from a lot of people. You get to interact with people that are struggling, people that are having difficulty putting food on the table, other people who are not able to pay their rent, other people who are not able to take their children to school. Why? Because businesses are doing badly. Employers are laying off people. I mean, it's just a whole concoction of so much sadness and frustration. And it seems as though there's some sort of recess, economic recess, you know. And it got me to start thinking along this line, you know, looking at God and looking at what people are going through and trying to connect both. Because a question that maybe many people will always ask is, where is God? There's so much that is going on. Recently, here in Kenya, there was a horrible, horrible mudslide. And people were buried under the rumble, and you know, it was just very, very unfortunate. And you hear of other people who've been carried, whose homes have been submerged in floods. And really, it makes you almost want to ask, why are people struggling so much? Where is God? These people have been praying, where is God? And some people have the wrong perception of God, because they begin now to feel, and they begin to imagine that God is behind all these things, that God is punishing us for something that we've most probably done, that God is obviously behind this 100%. And you know, that's really unfortunate. It is unfortunate. And you know, before I even go further in this conversation, I would like to open the Bible. And if you have your Bible, you could open with me in the book of James. I love that we can always get every answer to all the questions we have if we can just open our Bibles and read. And look at this in the book of James. The writer James, the apostle, talks about this, and he calls it what? Temptations. Yeah, that's what he says, you know, that's what he talks about. You know, where he's saying, you know, he's talking about that God, let no person, let no man say, that is James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. If I read that from the Amplified, it says, let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted from God, for God is incapable of being tempted by what is evil, and he himself tempts no one. I'd also like to read from another version, you know, the same verse, from a different version. Sometimes different versions, Don't let anyone under pressure to give in to evil say, God is trying to trip me up. God is impervious to evil and puts evil in no one's way. So, I mean, if you look whichever way, if you have your notebook, maybe just note that down. James chapter 1 verse 13. That God does not bring evil in anyone's way. And that's a conversation that a lot of people would have and say, you know, the children are dying. It's the will of God. It is God who's caused young innocent children to die. You know, it is God's will that a family perished in a mudslide or a landslide, or children were left orphaned, or a person was killed. No, that is not God's way. That is not God's will. Because he does not bring evil. He is not evil. And he does not bring evil our way. He is impervious to evil. That's what the Bible says. He is impervious to evil. I feel as though the reason why we keep having these conversations about God and about whether these things are from God, whether, you know, if there's famine in the land and people are dying of hunger and people are just wondering, is this from God or not? I feel as though the reason why we ask such questions, the reason why we even get into such conversations, is because we do not have a proper understanding, or we do not know the nature of God. Because if we knew God, if we knew his character, his attributes, then we would know that he is incapable of doing some things. Think about it, you know, walk with me here. Think about how, I'm sure probably it's happened to you. Remember how that time when someone came and probably began to say things about you, and they began saying, oh, you know, I know you, I knew you would do ABCD. Which would be a negative thing. And they insisted, no, because I know you. I know you do that ABCD. How did you feel about that? Something as simple as maybe someone who tells you, you know, I thought of calling you to ask you for help, but I knew you wouldn't help me because you're not that kind of a person. You wouldn't want to help me. And I'm sure that you must have felt really bad, maybe even disappointed. Maybe you'd even have asked that person, why didn't you try? You could have asked, you could have tried, and then see. Or maybe you'd have asked that person, why did you just judge me so rashly without giving me a chance to redeem myself? I mean, I'm sure you've had such encounters in your life, and it doesn't feel good. I think I've also encountered such in my own life, where you feel as though someone has really misjudged you. They have concluded and they've drawn a picture which is not a true representation of who you are, and it feels very, very disappointing. You'd almost feel so heartbroken to realize that that person thinks so lowly of you, that that person thinks that you cannot help them, that that person thinks that you would be happy because of all the stress and the pain and everything that they're going through. You know, you feel disappointed that someone would even think that you would not be kind enough or considerate enough. You'd feel disappointed. Now think about that. Think about how God feels when we take every evil in the world and then we attribute it to him. And that is not even his nature. Think about the times when, if you read through the Bible, you'll see him. You'll see his nature, his attributes, where he goes and says that though your mother and your father forsake you, yet I will never forsake you. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He says that I have tattooed your name. I have engraved your name on the palms of my hand, that your walls are ever before me. Where he says that even you go through hell and high waters, I am with you. Where he says that I'll make a way for you where there's no way. Where he says that I will redeem you. You know, I will save you. And not only does he just say that, but he goes ahead and he does actually do the ultimate act of true love. And in John 3:16, we read that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should never perish. That every attribute of God from Genesis through Malachi becomes established in the New Testament, where he says, you see, I did everything I could. Now I have done the ultimate. I cannot go beyond the cross. That's what God says constantly, every time. He cannot go beyond the cross. That is the deepest, greatest expression of his love. And let me just ask honestly, if he loved us so much, he could not withhold his son, how will he withhold food or rain? How will he withhold his protection and his love if he could not withhold his only son? In fact, the Bible says, he who did not spare his own son but gave him to us, shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I would like to say this. Many times you find people going through very many difficult circumstances. There are people who've gone through, you know, losing property, losing loved ones. Others have lost their health and everything. But God is not the author of evil. He's not. No, he's not. He's not trying to test you with trouble and with hard times. I will tell you this though. We find ourselves in these hard times because of some choices that we make. And while I say that, I'm saying that very cautiously because I know there are people who are victims of other people's choices. For example, if our political leaders make the wrong choices, or if they go, we elect them to power and they decide to just be greedy and steal and perpetrate corruption, then that at the end of the day means it will trickle down to me. There's always a ripple effect, and I'm going to feel it. I'll go to the shop and everything will be expensive. The businesses will be strained. They'll be, you know, difficult. Employers will try to, because of the lean times, they will have to lay off a few people so that they can remain afloat. Those are consequences. The person who's lost their job, the person who's closed the business, did not really make any bad choice per se, other than just being a victim of circumstances. So when I say we find ourselves sometimes in these situations because of choices, I'm not just saying strictly that's the case with every person out there. I'm saying for probably a majority or for half or three quarter of the situations that we find ourselves in, many times if we trace back, we realize that we made a choice which probably we should have held on. Maybe that was not the right time to make that particular choice. But because you made the choice probably at the wrong time, the consequences that follow, there are consequences that follow. And the consequences that followed that choice was probably you lost your car, you lost property, you know, you made choices and your marriage broke. You made choices and now you cannot be able to see your children. There are choices we make. So before we even go and say, you know, God has made me suffer and God has brought this heavy burden on me, ask yourself, how did I contribute to this? How did I find myself in this place? For example, if you've just lost your job, then it might make sense for you to, you know, cut costs. Probably it might be a better idea for you to move to a smaller house that you're paying cheaper than what you pay currently until things get back, or until you get back on your feet. Because if you continue living where you're living without any income, then naturally what will happen is you'll accrue debt. At the end of the day, you'll have debt collectors knocking on your door. Then that will lead to other things like auction, and you will lose everything. You understand? Like, that will be a whole sequential thing. That one choice you could have made earlier of let me cut costs would have cost you, would have cost you to avoid so much in the future. And as I talk about this, you know, I just feel in my heart so strongly, like, that it's so unfortunate that a lot of people misrepresent God. We do. We feel as though we attribute every evil to God. And I'm only feeling how, right now, I can almost feel how broken and disappointed he must feel it. He must feel, you know, because he looks at us and says, humans, I have loved you. Mankind, I have loved you with an everlasting love. How can someone who loves you unconditionally bring evil to you? He's not the one that caused you to be broke for that long season. He's not the cause of that. Because he always provides a way of escape for you in whatever you are going through. Wow. today I'm just really being introspective, looking at things, and yes, empathizing with what a lot of us are going through. But then again, I just feel like we need to be strong in our faith and in our confidence in who God is, that we should not be moved, we should not be shaken in our faith. You know, faith comes from an awesome Greek word, pistis, which means a strong moral conviction and strong persuasion. So why don't we become strongly persuaded in the goodness of God? Why can't our faith rest on his goodness, on his mercies, on his love? Why can't we look around and realize, you know what? There are things that are happening around us. We are not saying that every person is responsible for what they're going through. There are young babies that are sick and suffering in cancer wards. Those babies did nothing. Even the adults did nothing. Really, a lot of people, nobody, at the end of the day, we could always say nobody really deserves the consequences of what they're going through, right? Whether it was from other people's choices or their own choices, at the end of the day, love is what really matters. And love is what we're really looking at right now, the love of God. The love of God, which is able to lift us up. And I want to speak hope, and I want to speak life to all situations that are around us. I want to speak life to our businesses. And I want to decree that in the name of Jesus, those businesses are going to thrive. I speak life to our jobs, and I decree that they shall not, that you shall not be laid off. Instead, you will be promoted. I want to speak life to our bodies, and I want to decree that we shall be healthy. Divine healing upon every person that's going through infirmity, sickness, and disease, whether terminal, whether it's a common cold, I speak the healing power of God, and I decree that healing is your portion in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Believe that God has already, he's already done it. He's already provided a way out for you. He's already provided a way out for you. You will rise from that bed. You will rise from your sickbed. You will be whole, and you will live to testify of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I speak life to our emotions, life to those who are having depression. And I decree that the love and the joy and the peace of God permeates every darkness in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we speak hope because we know whom we have believed. And we are persuaded that he's able to keep that which we've committed to him against that day. Our faith, he's able to keep it. Our hope, he's able to keep it. So don't be discouraged. Don't look at situations around you and think this is it. Don't speak as the others are speaking. Speak life. Businesses will thrive whether or not there's a recession. And God will give us divine ideas and strategies on how to do these businesses. I have all confidence, I have all belief and hope that we are rising above all this situation that seems to be pulling us down. We are rising above every situation that's meant to pull us down. Whatever is meant to sink us is the very thing that will cause us to float. We are heavenly bound. We thrive on earth. We are not surviving. We are thriving. And we are a blessing in every way and to everyone around us. So I just felt like that was a conversation that we needed to have today. Really glad that you could join me. Again, this is Marianne. And thanks for tuning in. Have a lovely evening, a lovely morning, a lovely afternoon. God bless you. And see you at the top. Bye-bye.